Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Charleston Gasliners Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
And a good Saturday morning to you along the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida. Glad to have you on board with us this morning as we welcome you to the Charleston Gasliners Prep Sports Report presented by Alpha and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. I am Randy Bergen. Good morning to you two beautiful men, Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Rick, you're beautiful.
Never changes.
Yeah, never changes. Man, how was your week, Coach?
Man, it was great. I enjoyed getting to get on the links with you yesterday.
We had fun.
Dead gum boy tied me.
Uh-oh.
I tied the GCGA current champion of the GCGA Tour.
Dang.
Tied him. Congratulations to you,
thank
Randy
you.
Bergen.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, great golf you played last Sunday over at Timber Creek, and so proud of you. I mean that.
Well, thank you. It was fun. We had a good time. It started out a little bumpy, but, you know, coaches, how we always say, it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
How you finish.
And we had a great time. But glad you were there and glad I got to play golf with you yesterday. We had a great gang out there at Quail Creek and certainly enjoyed it. Mark, how you doing, brother?
I'm fantastic, man. Every day is just a – that I wake up, I get up and go, yep, it's going to be another great day because God's given it to me.
Amen.
And, man, just it's a blessing to be able to do what I was talking to somebody the other day, Rick, you know, and Randy, we all of us around us teaching and coaching and helping, you know, things. And I was talking to Kenny McLean's who I was talking to.
Really?
And he and I were just chatting about stuff, and he said – he said, Coach, thank you for what, you know, thank you for coaching my son Landon. Appreciate all, you know. And I was like, yeah, and I mean this. I am so lucky to do what I do.
Yeah.
I am so fortunate to be able to do that. It is a honor to be able to work with kids and be with kids. And it's been a great week at Bayside. We've had good workouts. The kids have been working hard.
And, are they excited?
They are excited. It's a young group, but it's a good group and a good group of young men that looking forward to watching them play this year. But man, just a Kenny McLean's right. You know, coaches and teachers have a wonderful opportunity, and it's a great thing to get up and do that every day.
That's awesome. All right, let me go ahead and set the table for you on the Pops Midtown Communication Lines today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, talking about kids on and off the field, Coach John Mothershed is going to be on with us. He's the former Deschler High School head football coach, Mark.
Yes, John Mothershed is a dear friend of mine that I have known for years. And Deschler is a neat little place. I've traveled there many times as a youngster. We had some family friends there when I was a little kid that we used to go visit the Wilhite family in Deschler and go over there and visit them. So I knew a little bit about Deschler. And then I got into wrestling, that Deschler back in the 80s and 90s, this powerful wrestling program. And so I always kind of kept up with Deschler. And then John Mothershed, I got to know him and when he became head coach there. And, man, what a dynamic personality, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys who's he's a man of deep conviction and a man who really works hard to help improve the lives of the kids he coaches. And it's evident in what you read about him and see about him. And, you know, he's one of those guys that has been through some trials in his life and has always been able to keep fighting forward.
And he was a Deschler for a long time.
Long time. I think you have some 95 into 2013, something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he was there for quite a while and just did a fantastic job.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Coming up at the bottom of our next hour, Rick, got a neat guest coming on, Scott Meacham.
Yeah, Scott Meacham, let me kind of give you the background on that. Billy Coleman was a high school football coach at Benjamin Russell.
Yep.
He was a superintendent of education in Coleman, longtime high school coach, lay preacher, lay minister, spent his entire life in the ministry while coaching at the same time. His son, Wesley, high school coach, tennis coach at CAC at one time, in Alexander City. Wesley's had some medical problems and is in line to have a heart transplant. And he and his wife, Danielle, have two amazing sons, 13-year-old Cade and 8-year-old Hudson. And we're going to talk to Scott Mitchum today about how we can assist him. This is a coach, and the GoFundMe account's been set up, and we're just going to talk about that.
That sounds good.
I mean, that's kind of the premises of what
we do.
We do. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there who would be interested in helping this young man. It doesn't matter if you give a dollar or 50 cents, but to help this family get through these tough times. 41 years old.
Wow.
41 years old.
That's young.
It is. And you're talking about a precious, precious family and a man who is – I've watched Wesley since he was just knee-high to a rabbit, it seems like. I mean, he's just a fabulous, sweet, Christ-centered man. And we want to do everything we can here at PSR to be a part of that GoFundMe team to assist that family. We'll talk about that at 9:15 this morning.
Well, that'll be a great segment for sure. Well, it's dead week. It's dead week.
Yeah, dead week is where you
dead week.
Explain to folks what that means.
The High School Athletic Association's conference begins on Monday. I think they have a golf tournament Monday and some other things going on Monday. Everybody kind of starts making their way, and teams start coming up for various all-star events. But next week will be a lot of it's a great time for coaches to reconnect with one another, to network a little bit. And at the convention, there'll be tests you have to take, classes you can take for professional development, all of these things. Speakers from all across the country will be here speaking to various sports. Each sport has its time to go. But since all that's going on, dead week means there's no competitions through the week. Now, if I get this a little bit off, somebody correct me. But what I understand is you can't compete this week. There's no 7-on-7, no camps
right, where
you would go to. Now, if an individual kid wants to go to a camp, you know, at Troy, he can. Mom and dad are paying for him. That's their family business. That's not school. But the school can't have a team
right, camp
or anything like that, or play in any 7-on-7 tournaments or basketball. They're not supposed to be playing anything associated with the school itself. You can still do your weight workouts and your conditioning and training, but you can't actually go and have a competition.
Well, you can't have a coach in there either, I don't think, during weightlifting camp.
Yeah, you can. Oh, yeah.
Well, to supervise.
To supervise.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have your whole coaching staff in there and then go outside and do 7-on-7. You can't do any of the competition stuff.
Right. Cannot do competition.
Right. I think there's 8 sports that are going to be played this week. There are going to be 8 all-star games. But and one of the things that was misunderstood for a long time about that, Mark, was the weight room is not closed. Kids can go in there and work out, but they just can't compete, like you said, in
right, any
kind of competition. A lot of schools keep those weight rooms open.
Yes, ours will be open.
Yeah, so those kids can be in there to work out. But one of the most important things to understand is there needs to be somebody in there with them.
Has to be.
Yeah. And
has to be a school official
right, in
there with them.
A lot of that has to do with what happened over here at Davidson High School.
And
so it's mandated that you have somebody in that weight room.
Because anything
times.
Can happen in
Absolutely.
There. And so so it has to be supervised
right.
by a school official.
Right.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Right. You know, we got a lot to get into. I got to tell you. By the way, Josh Niblett.
Yeah.
You know, we had him on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
He was back in some stomping area.
Yeah, he's back at Hoover. You know, he spent 14 years at Hoover. We were talking about this, and somebody was asking me, as a matter of fact, on the golf course, this Niblett guy, tell me about him, Coach. Well, Josh Niblett spent 14 years at Hoover. He was a head coach at Oneonta for 5 years. He was a head coach at Oxford for 3 years. And so that means he was a head coach for, what, 22 years? A record of 236 wins and 58 losses. He's now in Gainesville, Georgia. Now, you know, Mark, Gainesville, Georgia is a neat little town. It's kind of like some of our smaller towns in Alabama where you got the courthouse square.
Yeah.
Well, they were a 2012 state champions, 2A. You know who their quarterback was? Deshaun Watson. Went to who? Went to Clemson.
Clemson.
But, yeah, Josh has got his Gainesville Red Elephants playing in the 7-on-7 national championships.
Gotcha.
That's pretty cool. Hey, let's take our first time out. When we come back, we're going to get into a whole lot of prep, so don't touch that dial. This is PSR.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Glass. We're broadcasting live today from our home away from home. It is the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room. And, Coach, we got on the background here on one of the five TVs. The Open is going on. And, of course, that'll be something we'll certainly talk about tomorrow on the show. But good to be back here. Good to be back, no doubt about it. Hey, we're going to do something that we don't normally do. But we're going to open up the phone lines, all right, because we're going to throw out some questions here, and we want your response. The phone line, 251-343-0106, 251-343-0106. We're going to get into that here in just a few moments. But, Coach, we had Mobile and Baldwin County Media Days this past week.
Yeah, Baldwin County coaches, I think, met maybe Tuesday of this past week, and boy, all 11 schools represented there. You got Tim Carter at Fairhope, Philip Rivers at St. Michael's, Jamie Dubose, a new coach at Orange Beach, Mark Hudspeth at Gulf Shores, Kenny King at Daphne, Phil Lazenby at Bayside, Nathan McDaniel at Alberta, Scott Riles at Baldwin County High School, Kyle Stanford at Robertsdale, let's see, Chase Smith at Spanish Fort, and Derek Scott from over at Foley. And, boy, they had a great – Had a great turnout, media folks there, and I sat in and listened to a good bit of it. But, you know, the one thing that I see from all the Baldwin County coaches is that excitement is in the air, and Friday nights are going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of great competition. And when you look at the start of our kickoff, when we kick off the season, August 18th, Gulf Shores goes to St. Michael's. They play on Thursday night over on Majors Field. In Fairhope, and I wouldn't be surprised if that won't be a shootout at the OK Corral. I can tell you that with Mark Hudspeth and his offensive, you know, he's pretty doggone solid offensively, and Phillip Rivers, guarantee you he'll have a bag full of tricks up his sleeve for that opening game.
I remember we had Phillip on not too long ago, and he was talking about playing over there at Majors Field. Man, every turn it looks like Pirates in here. We got to change that.
It's funny. You know, and we talk about that schedule, and, you know, on the Thursday night on August 18th, Gulf Shores and St. Michael's at Fairhope, and then the 19th, Spanish Fort goes to Fairhope. That should be one heck of a football game, and trying to see who else we got that week in matchups across the state. We'll talk about those a little bit later on. But I will tell you on that Friday night, too, that Jeff Kelly brings his Saraland team over to play Kenny King's Daphne Trojans. And that should be an interesting game for a lot of reasons. But I think one of the reasons a lot of people are going to look at that and say this is really going to be interesting is because both schools have the other school's quarterback from last year playing for them. Saraland it's kind of an odd deal, but Saraland's quarterback most likely will be KJ Lacey. KJ Lacey was a young ninth grader that started for Daphne last year. And he has since transferred back to Saraland. I think he started elementary school at Saraland. His family moved over here to Daphne, and they've moved back to Saraland. And starting at quarterback, or one of the quarterbacks for Daphne will be Gabe Reynolds, who was a starting quarterback at Saraland last year. So that's going to be pretty interesting.
Oh, wow. So just a little reversal.
Yeah, a little reversal there. So that's going to be pretty interesting. Around the state of Alabama, and I know we're talking about Baldwin County coaches media day, but around the state we got some real interesting matchups that first week. Auburn plays Hoover. Of course, Keith Etheridge is at Auburn, and they were 10-3 last year. Hoover That's where Josh Niblett left from. They were 12-1 last year, got beat in the semifinals, but Hoover's now coached by Wade Waldrop, who came in from North Alabama. So that'll be an interesting matchup there. And then Thompson, Mark Freeman's Thompson Warriors, are going to play Buford in the Freedom Bowl over in Alpharetta, Georgia, and that'll be on Saturday at 5:30. Mark, I know you're a little bit disappointed this week because Peter Woods, I think one of the premier defensive linemen in the country, everybody thought he was just a shoe-in to go to Alabama. Well, he committed to Clemson, yep, to Dabo Swinney. And that was, I think that was a huge disappointment for the Alabama folks.
Oh, I think so, too. I think it really was because he's, you know, big-time prospect, 5A, five-star player, and one of the best programs in the country. And, I saw the kid play. I saw him play last year in the state championship game, and I was like, geez, this guy's he's a wrecking ball all by himself. You know, the defensive end from Thompson, who went to Alabama, is a great player, and I can't think of his name. Alexander, is that his name? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about, but his name is Casper.
I didn't think about it this morning. But anyway, but I was like, but he's not the best player on that line.
No, you're
and,
right.
And Peter Wood, I thought, was the best player on the line, and he, of course, is now at Clemson. And, you know, good, if that's what he wants to do, good for him. He made a choice, and I hate we lose Alabama players out of state schools.
Right. Yeah, well, he's not at Clemson yet now. He's got a senior year to play.
He's got to play, and it could change.
And it could change. That's exactly right. It could change. Don't you dare think that Nick Saban's staff's not going to continue to recruit him.
Well, there could be some NIL money.
Well, there sure could be.
Texas out there, maybe.
Well, I don't. Now you're talking crap now.
I'm just playing you.
But I will tell you this. Thompson still got probably one of the best defensive backs in the country in Tony Mitchell.
And he's committed to Alabama.
So yeah, he's a really good player.
There's some good players in Alabama this year.
I mean,
you look at that list, and, I mean, there's players in Alabama that are in the top 10 Alabama players.
Right.
Are also in the top 25 in the country, and some of them are. So, some good players.
Well, and you know, when you look at these really great players that they throw five stars at, Alabama and Auburn's in on just about every one of them in our state. But what we're seeing is the influx of this NIL stuff.
Sure.
And it's going to make a difference.
It's going to make a huge difference. They don't ever get a handle on that thing.
Something's got to change.
I don't know that they can get a handle on it.
Well, that's true. The court system may not allow them to do it now. It could become that kind of issue.
It's a mess, and we talked about that before it happened. How when you do that, that Pandora's box is going to open up, and you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
That's true, Randy. That's true. And, you know, we had the Mobile County Coach Association, which was two days of media days. Nine new coaches in Mobile County. You got Zach Golson, who left as the offensive coordinator at Daphne and goes over to Mary Montgomery. You got Josh Harris at Blount, who was a junior high coach. But I'm going to tell you, I think the world of their principal out there, and I think they made a great hire. They got a young guy who knows all those kids at Blount, and I think Josh will do a great job out there. I'm excited for him. John McKenzie goes from Vigor to Murphy. Rodney Jordan is over at Satsuma. You got Carl Herring, who's the interim coach at Chickasaw since Ryan Little stepped aside. Renardo Jackson is at LaFleur. Antonio Coleman is the interim coach at Williamson. Helm Barnett, of course, takes over for Steve Mask at St. Paul's. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the neatest hires is Marcus Cook. Marcus Cook is the first Vigor alum to hold the head coaching position at Vigor. And Marcus is a heck of a young football coach. Let me tell you this. He was an All-American in the SWAC conference. He is he's a wonderful offensive line coach, and I'm really excited for Marcus Cook. We're going to try to get him on pretty soon, but really excited for Marcus. So nine new coaches in the Mobile area. And, you know, when you look at it, you look over and you see John McKenzie. Wow. Goes from Vigor winning the state championship. Now he's going to Murphy. And, you know, in the old days, guys, Vigor and Murphy was the biggest rival. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was even bigger than, you know, some of the rivalries that we talk about even today. And one day we want to talk about these rivalries, guys. I'd like to get your input on the biggest rivalries in high school football in the state of Alabama. That's a neat topic to talk about. But we've had a good week. High school coaches have got over media days, and now they're getting ready to go to work after a dead week here that we got coming up this week.
Coach, you know, as you go through that, and you were talking about nine new coaches being hired there, you look at that list of all the different coaches, the amount of coaches, the coaching changes, the assistant coaches going to head coaching positions. Yeah. I mean, that's been a pretty big – I'm saying it's a pretty big number.
No doubt. 90 head coaches have been hired.
Yeah.
And of those 96 coaches, 76 were hired from within the state of Alabama. 53 assistant coaches became head coaches. 26 head coaches moved to another job, and 23 assistants were hired at their same school, elevated to the head coaching position.
Let's take a timeout when we come back. Coach John Mothershed, he is going to be on the Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report as we're broadcasting live today from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room. I'm Randy Bergen along with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter. And we're going to go to our Pops communication line right now and welcome in former Deschler head football coach, John Mothershed. Coach, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Well, I appreciate you having me on the call. It's a great opportunity for me to get to talk to Mark again. I've not talked to Mark in a long time.
John, how you doing, buddy? Man, I have missed talking to you. You don't know how much. Laz and I talk about you a good bit there in the office. It's all good. Don't worry. You know how Laz can be, but it's all good, partner.
Yeah, I miss you guys. I tell you what, that's one thing that and Mark, I hope you warned them that you don't have to really worry about prodding me to talk.
No.
I'll keep on rolling. But no, I do. I miss that whole crew down there, man. Lazenby and Coach Curtis, and that's one thing I truly miss about not coaching.
You know, one of the great things, one of the things I remember most is coaching a state championship game with Terry Curtis against John Mothershed. We're sitting in an office meeting, and he said, "Let me tell you something. You better be prepared for everything that there is to be prepared for." And he said, "And Rick, that offensive line, those guys may stem, they may move, they may stack, they may do everything in the world to confuse you." And I said, "Terry, all we can do is what we can do." And he said, "Well, you better be able to do twice what you can do when you play Mothershed. I can just tell you that."
And I can hear him say it. I can hear that.
Yeah.
I can hear that voice of his say that. But, you know, I'm going to tell you a funny story about that game, about that championship game is,
yeah,
if you don't mind, I'm sorry, guys. Hey, I'm going to talk.
Man, no. It's your time.
No, it's your time.
I was getting ready for that game. It's so funny. That year, as the year rolled, we had a pretty good team. And it wasn't one of the best teams that we've had at Dasher, but it was a pretty good team. And all year long, we have been facing these spread teams. All year long, we've been facing these spread teams. And I got so sick of defending all that mess. And you got to be careful what you wish for. Because I said during the season, because I was the defense coordinator, not only the head coach, I always coach the defense. And I said, "My gosh, I'm ready to get back and play a team that just runs the eye. It just runs the eye." And so in that championship game, we Terry's team, ULS, they were beating our brains out. I mean, it was just so – they were just so powerful that year. And I promise you, it was like Terry, he ran the lead, he ran the sweep, he ran the counter, and he ran the boot. He ran four plays. And
That's
they
right.
were pounding us, and we couldn't stop nothing. And one of my little smart-aleck coaches came up to me during the game and said, "Coach, is that eye that you was always asking about?" It ain't quite that one, you know. But man, what a game! And I did something very unusual after that game because I had so much respect for Terry Curtis and what he did at UMass or what he continues to do. But I actually went into his locker room after the game and
sure did.
And congratulated him and his players because it was absolutely one of the most dominant one of the worst beatings we've ever took, and I put it that way. But, no, I got so much respect for them. But it was, yeah, that was fun. You know, you got to be careful what you wish for. I wish that we'd play a team that just ran the simple I and just played good old-fashioned football. And, you know, the Lord kind of said, okay, I got one of them for you.
That's funny.
Hey, John, tell us a little bit about, you know, when you and I have been talking over the last week or so about coming on today. Tell us a little bit about your career, how you got started and coming on through. Now, I will say this, John, if you hear the music in the background start playing, that means we're going to get ready to go to a break.
Long, right?
No. It means we're going to a break, so we'll have to stop and then pick you up. But just know if you hear that music, that we're going to take a break after that. But we're going to hold you in this segment and the next segment. But tell us a little bit about how you got started and where your career went, and just a little bit of some things that you want to talk to us about.
Well, it's going to get it might get a little sappy for you. I don't know, but
that's fine. We're proud of sappy.
Yeah, that word's big here.
I tell people my story all the time. That my story goes back to when I was about 12 years old, and my parents divorced. And so here I was growing up in a single-parent home with a mom who had to work continuously just to try and pay the bills. And I was a small kid. And about in the eighth grade, I was probably 90 pounds. And a man named Gary Newton, who was one of my coaches at Sheffield High School, came to me and convinced me to wrestle. I played some football, but it was mainly wrestling that I did, and because I was a small kid. And so I got into wrestling, and Gary kind of filled that void of a father figure. And then I met a man named Waylon Blake. And I know Waylon's down there with y'all, his son, Matt, I think, coaches down in that area. But Waylon Blake was my head coach, and I started playing football. So I'm a small kid, and I'm the kid that would run through a wall for you, but I'm not a big kid. And I was strong, but Waylon Blake and the coaches at Sheffield became my father figure. And they guided me because I was headed down the wrong path, and they guided me on to the right path and kept me active in wrestling and in football and just became that role model for me. And it was Waylon Blake. And it was Bill Deegan, who was my strength coach, and it was Gary Newton, and there was a whole group of coaches. But they saved me, and I just tell it like it is. They saved me because I was headed down with the partiers and the dope smokers and all that kind of stuff until I got into athletics. So then I was actually going to go and work for the railroad when I graduated high school. That was my whole plan, is I was going to work for the railroad. I already had a job lined up. I wasn't going to college because I was not a college kid. I was not that type of person. I was a worker. And we had a tragic event in Sheffield where a young man lost his life by the name of Clay Meeks about 2 years before I graduated, and they created a one-year scholarship fund in his name where you could go to UNA, University of North Alabama, right here where I live. So my senior year, I didn't expect to get that. I mean, I was senior day, man. I wasn't worried about an award. All I was worried about is getting to the river and drinking some beer and having some fun. And I actually won that award. So I said, well, what the heck? I can go to UNA for one semester and then go to the railroad. And all of a sudden, that one semester led to two semesters, led to three semesters, and ended up, my passion was, here was my why. You know, everybody's got a why. And my why, I decided to go into coaching because what I wanted to do is I wanted to give back to kids that were in my situation that came from a single home that needed some guidance and do for them what the coaches at Sheffield did for me, which was guide me in the right direction, kick my butt when I needed it, praise me when I needed it, be that person just to go to, that person that gave me stability. So I went into coaching. Because I wanted to give back like Waylon Blake and Bill Deegan and Gary Newton had done for me. So I was looking for a job. I'm fresh out of college looking for a job. Actually, one of the jobs I interviewed for was an assistant down at Baldwin County High School. And this was back in 1986, 87. Was really close to taking that job as an assistant down there when Tandy Gerrals called me. Tandy Gerrals was the head coach at Dexter High School, which is right here in my back door. And Jack Weaver, who I had helped over at Sheffield coaching for a while, Jack Weaver got me set up with Tandy for an interview, and I went over to Tandy's house, and Tandy offered me the job as the head junior high coach in 1987. And then the assistant that was one of his varsity assistants left about 2 weeks later, and Tandy moved me up to the varsity staff, and I became in 1987. Boy, I tell you what, that seemed like 100 years ago, but I became the offensive line coach, the offensive line coach and the defensive line coach running the wing T offense. And, Mark, I know you know the wing T offense, and you guys, all you coaches down there know the wing T offense, and that was Tandy Gerrals' claim to fame. That's what Tandy brought. And if you knew right. Tandy Gerrals, you knew that he knew that wing T offense backwards and forwards.
Yes.
And so I learned from a legend. I got a great opportunity to work for Tandy Gerrals, who I think anybody in the state of Alabama that follows high school football knows that name. And what I got to learn from Tandy was amazing. It was not just the program. It was how he ran his program, and it was the stability. And so I worked with Tandy and learned everything I knew about football from Tandy Gerrals. Then in 1995, Tandy retired, and I took over as the head coach. I was a defensive coordinator during that time, but I took over as head coach, and we kind of ran the gamut from there. I was at Dexter for about 18 years as the head coach. I think one of the greatest things that we had at Dexter was stability, because all I did was I just took what Tandy had.
I don't know if we lost him there. Coach, you there?
Let's reconnect with him.
Yeah. There he is.
There you go.
Sorry, I lost. So, anyway, I took over for Tandy in 1995 at Dexler, and we pretty much ran the gamut there for a long time. I had some great assistants, but that's pretty much my coaching career. And I ended in Dexler. You know what's funny, guys? I think it was 2012 or 2013. I'm really not sure what year I stopped at that.
It's 2013, yeah. John.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, years just run together for me, guys. I don't know about you.
Hey, Coach,
the older I get, they all run together.
Hey, Coach, can you hang on? We got to take a quick timeout, all right? And then we're going to bring you up on the other side. We are visiting with John Mothershed, former Dexter High School head football coach, and fun time,
yes,
with him. You won't want to miss it. A lot to get into in this next segment. This is PSR. Don't go anywhere.
The Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report is live every Saturday morning beginning at 8. Now back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster, and we have on our Pops Communication Line the former Dexter head football coach and AHSAA Hall of Fame inductee in 2018, Coach John Mothershed. Coach, thanks for hanging over. Great bio right there. And I'm going to tell you, when we say Hall of Fame, Mark, you know this. You look at his record, Coach Mothershed's record at Dexter. 201 wins, 53 losses. Back-to-back state championships, quite a few state championships there.
You know, and Coach Mothershed is not only his winning record speaks for itself, but the thing that I have always known about John, even in conversations that he and I have had, is that John is more concerned about – I'm going to let him talk about this in a minute. And you can tell from the story that he just told us about how – he got into coaching, why he got into coaching, and the burden in his heart is why he got into coaching, is his ability to relate to his players, and his students in his classroom, and his coaches, and how he talks to them, and how he relates to them. And so one of the things I had put a little note for him this week was to be thinking about that type part of your game, John, about the coaching game, what we do as coaches. How has your – what do you think is your strength about reaching kids and helping those kids? And maybe you can share a story or two that's really meaningful to you.
Yeah, I think, Mark, it's your why, the why you went into coaching. And mine was, honestly, to help kids. You know, the winning and I know this is easy to say, and everybody says, oh, yeah, no, the winning, we didn't spend all our time focused on the winning. You know, Candy taught me years and years ago that if you do things right and if you surround yourself with good people, the winning will take care of itself. And instead of focusing on the wins and losses, you focus on trying to make an impact in a kid's life. And I had a great – now, let me tell you, I had a great coaching staff. And when you start looking at some of the guys that came through my coaching staff, you kind of understand the success we were able to have was because we were in a great community that bought into what we were doing. Okay, the city of Tuscumbia absolutely bought into and trusted us with their kids. And but when you start looking at Kevin Rose, who was my offensive coordinator for a number of years, and Kevin's success that carried him through his career in the state of Alabama, and then Darrell Higgins was the offensive coordinator that took over when Kevin left. And Darrell is at Morris Hill now running the same system that we did at Deschler. And if you've been following locally high school football, you understand that he's so successful at Morris Hill right now that all he's doing is running our program and caring about kids and giving them opportunities and holding them accountable. And all these lessons of life that we learned, that, like I said, that Tandy instilled in me as to why we coach. And, you know, there's so many stories that go through my head right now when you ask me kind of at the first of the week to think about some of the stories that impacted. I remember a kid, and I tell this story now in my job now, which is a corporate trainer. But I tell this story all the time. It's a kid named Chris Summerhill. And this is not a kid that went to college. This is not a kid that – but his name was Chris Summerhill, and it was my first year as head coach. And this was that borderline kid that we all have on our teams that is in trouble in class, You're trying to change him. And, Mark, I'm going to tell you what I did. And this name – now, this goes back to 1995, okay? But I can tell you the name Chris Summerhill. I was so upset with this kid because the way he was acting in class that I kicked him off the team. And when I look back over my career, that's a name that I regret, that I hate, because had I not been that young coach and as I matured in my coaching, I could have handled that kid a lot better, because here's the problem. The easiest thing you can do is kick a kid off. That's the easiest thing you can do is kick a kid off. But the problem is, once you kick that kid off, you have no more influence on that kid's life. Correct. There's nothing you can do. Now, there are times when you have to make a break.
Yes.
But I think I jumped the gun too quickly on that young man. And he was just a sophomore. But of course, he didn't play anymore after that. I had a negative impact on that kid's life. And it still haunts me today that I could have done a better job with that kid. Because no matter who they are, no matter if it's a superstar or if it's the kid that's just on the team to be a part of the team, each kid brings something to that team. And too many coaches, I feel, get caught up in the superstars and they forget those other kids. And those kids are just as important to their parents. They're just as important to their grandparents. They're just as important to humanity as that superstar. So I think, you know, and what I learned through my coaching career is we need to understand the winning and losing in that game on Friday night, it is so – boy, I hate to say this because the high school coaching gods may strike me down. But it's so much more impactful what we do than just that 2.5 hours on Friday night. It's the year-round commitment you make to that kid, to guiding that kid, the consistency. You may be the only positive influence that kid has in his life. And I think we're much too quick, I was when I was young, to get rid of a kid instead of trying to find the button on that kid that can help change his life. So that's a memory, is that guy, Chris Summerhill. I bring his name up a lot of times when I'm talking because I made a tragic mistake in that young man's life. And you got to be careful as a coach because we are very impactful.
We're talking to John Mothershed, former head coach at Deschler High School. And real quick here, 1 minute. John, for 30 years, from 1984 to 2013, there were only two coaches at Deschler. Mm-hmm. In the last, 7 or 8 years, we recently talked to Patrick Malone, who just took the Deschler job. Why have things turned over so much at Deschler?
Oh, good question. Wow. I wish I could tell you that answer. I don't know. They've hired some good people there. But Deschler's a very unique place. It really is a very unique place. And Mark knows this. It's kind of like a UMS Wright, okay, on the smaller scale. It's kind of like a T.R. Miller, okay, that Tandy and I were so invested not only in that school but in that community and in those kids, and the parents trusted us and the parents knew us. I mean, I coach a lot of my players' parents are either this, and I learned this from Tandy too, and this is something I feel like coaches need to hear, is I was as concerned about the kids in my classroom as I was my players on the field. Being a high school coach is different than being a college coach. You have to make an impact in the classroom as much as you make it on the field. Then the community will trust you, right? And so I think that's the key right there, was because the trust Tandy and I had. Now, I do feel like with Patrick Malone, because he was one of the former players, that he'll make a big impact.
Coach, thanks for taking time to be with us.
John,
we're against a hard break here. Going to have you back on real soon.
Thank you so much, pal.
Folks, don't go anywhere. More PSR right after this.
See you guys.
It's time for the Charleston Guest Liners Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lessiter.
And we welcome you into the second hour of the Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha, and coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios right here on the PSR Radio Network. That's where we're broadcasting from today, is the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room. I'm Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. Glad to have you on board with us. All of you listening to us along the Gulf Coast of Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida, you got us tuned in to FM Talk 106.5. And those of you in Central Alabama, it's Central Alabama, Fox Sports Central Alabama on 98.3 FM, Birmingham, Montgomery, Prattville. Coach, one of your favorite places, Lake Martin, not too far from hometown, Sylacauga.
No doubt about it, Randy. And a lot of good things happening for Lee Pearman and those guys down in Sylacauga. They got some new formats coming, and we're excited to be a part of it. Really excited. You know, local attorney Braxton Counts is a lobbyist in both Montgomery, Alabama, and Washington, D.C. Braxton has joined forces with former Tennessee Congressman Jimmy Duncan to assist you with governmental affair problems. Both of these gentlemen have great influence in both Montgomery and Washington, and many of you rely on either the state or the federal government for their businesses. Braxton Counts and Jimmy Duncan can put you in front of the right people to assist you. It's all about relationships, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, tennis, golf. It's all about relationships, and both Braxton and Jimmy have these connections to assist you. Give Braxton Counts a call at 251-476-9900. You know, Mark, as coaches, I never could afford to have a truck or a car with leather in it. Just never could. That wasn't something, you know, you kind of got the best you could get for the least money you could get. So I took my truck over to Chris Garris over at Premier Collision, and boy, Chris Garris, you can reach him, by the way. He's at 1177 Sledge Drive, 251-478-4500. By golly, I got leather seats in my truck.
Did you really?
Man, I'm telling you right now, I'm cooking with grease.
You are.
I'm cooking with grease, and I'm excited about it. And I tell you what, if you've got any automotive needs and you want somebody to treat you like family, give Chris Garris a call at 251-478-4500, Premier Collision. You'll probably get Tyler on the phone, and Tyler will put you in touch with the right people. Take your vehicle in there, and I promise you they will take great care of you over there. I mean it.
Hey, Mark, he's sporting it too, boy.
Well,
he's sporting it, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Hey, look, all right, this week in AHSAA, you're going to have the coaches meeting in Montgomery. It's dead week. It's dead week, Rick, and that's a different meaning.
Yeah,
okay,
it is a different
meaning. You better explain that.
Yeah, it just simply means that there's not any competition. Mark explained it earlier better. It's just no competition between schools, and so it's just where the coaches all assemble. About 4,000 coaches, principals, administrators will be in Montgomery this week for all of the festivities there, and it's always a great time of fun, fellowship, and food. And I can promise you this, there'll be a lot of stories told and a lot of lies told.
A lot of lies.
And, you know, Mark, as a matter of fact, your secondary sport, North-South All-Star Squad for the Boys and Girls Golf Competition, report tomorrow, and baseball teams report Monday. And that's, boy, that's big. That's a big, big thing. The golfers will play a practice round Sunday and hold that North-South competition at Arrowhead Country Club, right there in Montgomery, right out by the offices,
right.
Over
mm-hmm.
at Arrowhead over yep. there. You know, one of the things that always excited me about going to the summer conference was you were able to sit down with other coaches that you compete with, not only have fellowship, but get ideas of what they're doing. And it was always fun for me. You know, that's one of the things that I do miss about coaching and or being a full-time football coach, but that's Boy, that's a great thing. All-star competition will be held in 8 sports during the week. The North-South girls and boys basketball games will also be played Tuesday at the Crampton Bowl Multiplex. Now, Mark, have you ever been there? Have you ever
Yes.
seen the Multiplex?
Mm-hmm.
It's something special. It's kind of like what we've got over in Birmingham at our old Fair Park.
Right.
Boy, it's something really, really special there at Crampton Bowl down there. And I want to call it the South End Zone. If I'm not mistaken, that would be the South End Zone.
It would be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It would
yeah.
be it the would South be. End Zone down there. So that's really a neat thing. And the girls will tip off at 5, the boys at 6. And then the boys and girls tennis matches will be played at Lagoon Park. It's just a one-day deal now for tennis. They're going to play it at 5 o'clock at Lagoon Park. And that'll be a neat thing. The North and South boys and girls cross country will also be Tuesday. And they're going to start at 7:30 a.m. That's tough. And then Wednesday, you got the softball doubleheader at Lagoon Park, and then the girls and boys soccer matches at 5 and 7 at the Emory Farmer YMCA Soccer Complex. And then volleyball closes out all the events Thursday with a 4 p.m. start at the Multiplex as well. But I know how much you enjoy. Now, you much more than me. I enjoyed the learning part of it. Then I wanted to get out and go back to the lake.
Right.
You know, we'd always go back to the lake and spend some time there and hang out with our buddies. But I love being in the learning part. But it's changed a little bit. You know, they used to bring in the Alabama coaching staff, and now it's kind of they're bringing. And high school coaches do most of this now, and college coaches not so much as they used to, but they still are spread in there. Every once in a while, you'll have a college coach that comes in there from a Division II or an NAIA school, and I don't know who they've got this year.
Well, I think they have gone back and started doing things a little bit like they used to.
Really?
The kickoff speaker at 9 o'clock on Wednesday morning for football will be Auburn head football coach Brian Harsin. He's going to talk about Auburn football and where they are right now and where he's headed and tell us a little bit about what's going on in Auburn football. And then there's coaches from Troy University, Georgia, Todd Munkin speaking, Rich Rodriguez from Jacksonville State, Tavares Robinson at Alabama is speaking, Heath Thomas from UAB, David Reeves from UAB, Southern Mississippi's coach Austin Armstrong is speaking. All these guys are speaking on different things so coaches can – determine what they want to go see and listen to. Harry Williams Jr. is at Alabama State University. We'll be speaking. Sean Spencer from the University of Florida will be speaking. Kane Womack from South Alabama mm-hmm. will be speaking.
That's a good one.
And also John Sumrall from Troy will be speaking. And this goes on for 2 days. And they'll have these divided up. And there'll be guys who teach who will be talking about just like Auburn football or South Alabama football or Troy football. But then there's other guys who will speak more position specific, offensive line play, game planning, defense or whatever, defensive back play, and they'll go through some things that they do.
So Mark, let me ask you this. So when you get there, what is your week look like? What will you be participating in?
Well, when I get to Tuesday night, we'll get there and we'll just check in the hotel and get up Wednesday morning, and I'll go. First thing I want to do is go listen to Brian Harsin. I've never heard him speak. I want to go here. I want to hear him
speak. I think
speak.
He'll be a pretty good speaker.
I think he will too. And then I'll probably, for me personally, usually Phil and I and Coach Stapleton and other coaches who may be going, I'm not sure who all is going this week, we'll get together and just see who's going to go watch what. And, like, I personally will look at more stuff along defensive schemes, strategies, defensive line play, linebacker, anything I can see on that, which I think would be beneficial to what we're doing, I'll go listen to some of that. My favorite thing to do, though, is to see some coaches that I know that I want to that are high school coaches
right.
that I want to learn from, and I go talk to them. I sit down with them and say, "Hey, show me how y'all did so and so. How do y'all do that?"
And they graciously share.
Shoot, yeah, they'll do it.
That's
and
awesome.
You don't so much with the guys you play in yep. your region, but it may be somebody that I have seen. Like I and Steve Smith from Piedmont is going to give me a hard time when I see him. I was supposed to go up there this spring or summer, and I haven't made it yet. I'm going to go up there because they have a unique way they do their weight training program for all of their athletes in their school. And I kept telling him I'm coming up there, and every time I try to make a trip, we couldn't. For some reason, I couldn't go.
Right.
So that's going to be on the agenda for after football season this winter. I'm hoping to take it. But anyway, we sit down there, and the best advice I ever got was from Bo Schembechler at a conference at Auburn. I was sitting in a chair eating my catfish dinner at the Auburn Coaching Clinic, and it was great. And he was sitting there with Pat Dye. Bo Schembechler looks across the table and says, "Need to go find coaches that you need to beat the worst and just see if they'll share any information with you."
Wow. That worked out pretty good, right?
It did, yeah.
All right, let's take a time out. When we come back, we're going to visit with Scott Meacham right here on the Prep Sports Report on PSR Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
And we welcome you back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report. Randy Bergen, Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Lasser. You know, we're broadcasting live from the Eastern Shore Hyundai Genesis Room, our man cave away from home. And, Coach, I got to tell you, if you're thinking about buying a car, this Eastern Shore campus is where you need to be.
There's no doubt about that, Randy. And this campus, I don't know how many acres it is out here, but they've got everything that you desire. They'll buy your old vehicle if you want to trade it in. They'll set you up with a brand new one. Or
Can I share something with you? You remember last Sunday? I know we got Scott Meacham on. We'll get him on just a second. Last week, remember I had my tire issue?
Yeah.
And Sean Jr. said, "Hey, look, we're going to have to keep your car. Let me get you set up." You know what he set me up in?
That Genesis.
That Genesis CV80.
I saw that.
It was very nice. I thought that was very nice of him to do.
That was.
Absolutely.
And it was very nice driving it.
Yeah, I bet so.
Sure
I wanted to buy it.
Why didn't you call me and take me for a ride? I'm really disappointed in you.
Boy.
It was good stuff, though, Rick.
Right now, that's good stuff, Randy.
That is.
You know, guys, people in Sylacauga and around central Alabama know Billy Coleman. Billy Coleman, a longtime high school coach, superintendent of education up in Coleman, in that area. He's got an amazing family. Billy has served his entire life as a lay pastor, head football coach, superintendent of education, And but entire time, his life has been dedicated to serving the Lord's will in his life. And he and Shireen have an amazing family. And they have now retired. And their young son, Wesley, 41 years old, longtime coach. Coached just about every sport you can coach there around Ellic City. He was an assistant tennis coach at Benjamin Russell High School. Really was a tennis coach there for a while, and then he became an assistant at CAC, the junior college there in Alexander City, and for 5 years served as a head tennis coach at CAC. And on June the 5th of this year, Wesley's life completely changed in an instant. He was taken to the emergency room by his beautiful wife, Danielle, and he had a I want to call it a cardionepathy, myopathy, which caused a stroke. And some friends of his, some people, and dearly loved, this family's dearly loved in the central Alabama community of Alexander City. Of course, the Coleman family loved all over Sylacauga and Talladega County. But Billy and Shireen's young son, Wesley, has had a stroke. And it things are getting to a point where there's going to have to be some more medical attention paid. And there's been a GoFundMe account set up. And we've got Scott Meacham on the line with us. And Scott has started this GoFundMe account. Scott, welcome to Prep Sports Report, pal. And we're sorry that we meet this way, but you and your family are doing something through the GoFundMe account to help this family. And want you to tell our listeners how they can assist you in helping this family.
Yeah, I appreciate you welcoming me on. And I believe I heard that Coach Mark Lassiter is there with you. And got a little bit of history with Coach Lassiter. He was actually my wrestling coach when I was in middle school here at Alexander
in Ellic
middle
City.
School when Mark was here in town. And
right.
I still have some family up this way. And so it's great to be on and great to be with you guys.
Scott, I'll tell you what, I remember when I heard your name this morning, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if that's the same Scott. I wasn't sure. Man, it's good to hear your voice. I remember coaching you. I think you were in seventh or eighth grade that year, but it's good to have you on with us, Scott, and look forward to hearing you tell us about what's going on.
Yes, sir. Rick, and I think your introduction of the Coleman family was beautiful. Anybody that knows Billy and Shireen knows how beautiful they are and how close to the Lord they are, and they spent their entire lives serving others, whether it be through church or education, coaching. You know, many coaches become father figures in young men's lives as they grow up, and Billy, you know, was just that role for many years in many young men. And Wesley followed right in the footsteps of his father in that regard. And as you stated, on June 5th, right after church, he started exhibiting some stroke-like symptoms, and you know, went to the emergency room, and then we got up to Grandview. You know, at that point in time, he was diagnosed with late stage non-ischemic cardiomyopathy, which means he was in late stage heart failure. He was discharged home. Once we got home, you know, when he was discharged home, he was required to wear a life vest to try to control life-threatening arrhythmias where his heart would get out of sync. And when his heart would get out of sync, you know, the blood was not able to, the heart was not able to oxygenate the blood properly. So when he came home, after about a week, he suffered a second stroke, and was airlifted to UAB, where we underwent multiple procedures. And during that time, he sadly suffered a third stroke, and this one being bigger than the previous two. And, you know, despite some incredible efforts to remove the clot in his brain, he was, you know, left to require extensive therapy for really an unknown period of time to overcome the, you know, profound effects of the stroke. So after that, we get back home, and Wesley, his heart, the medicines just weren't helping his heart. And so we get back to UAB, and that's where we are today, waiting on a heart transplant. And we know that this is the family knows this is the Lord's calling. This is the path that he's laid. And so we, in coordination with the family, we have set up a GoFundMe to help. As you can imagine, been in the hospital, today would mark day 28. As we wait, we will, remain in the hospital. So everything expense-wise previously and moving forward, is quite unimaginable. But the family, this GoFundMe was never set up having a goal or dollar figure in mind. It was set up in a way to share the story and to bring anyone that reads the story closer to Jesus Christ. And the Colemans have been just that, continuing to be able to see the Lord through these storms that they've been facing. It's just been incredible. It leaves you speechless.
So the way we can, all of us lay people can help the Coleman family is by go to GoFundMe.com and type in Wesley Coleman's name, and you can make a donation there, whether it's $1, 50 cents, $5, $50, $500, $5,000. That's important. That's important to the cause, but at the same time, this is a way that you can assist this family any way that you see fit. But we certainly ask for your prayers for Wesley and Danielle and of course, Cade and Hudson and Scott. We're going to put this on our website at PSR, but tell me if I am correct now. You go to GoFundMe.com, type in Wesley Coleman's name, and then you can follow the trail there. Is that correct?
That's correct. And I tell you, if there's another GoFundMe out there with a Wesley Coleman name, I think, their picture will kind of stand out and separate right. themselves. It's a picture of a beautiful family. Quite frankly, when you see it, you're going to sit there and say, okay, that's the all-American family right there. And I think right. there'll be no mistake for having the correct one.
Scott, thank you so much for what you and your family have done for the Coleman family, and I cannot tell you how much those of us who love Billy and love his family appreciate what y'all have done, and we will certainly do everything we can to promote and help this. And thank you for taking time to be with us this morning, pal.
Thank you.
Take care.
Take care, Scott.
They're raising money right now. Check it out for sure. GoFundMe.com. And then type in Wesley Coleman. All right, let's take a timeout. When we come back, we got some questions we want answered, okay? We're going to do that right here on PSR. Do not touch that dial. Mark, don't touch it.
I ain't touching.
Welcome back to the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
Let that roll just a second. Just a second. Some good stuff, old boss. All right, welcome back to Charleston Gaslanders Prep Sports Report right here on the PSR Radio Network. Glad to have you on board with us this morning. It has gone by extremely fast. I'm Randy Bergen, along with Coach Rick Cleveland, Coach Mark Laster. And guys, I want to kind of get into some questions. Ben Thomas, and the answers, he did a little survey, and I believe 75 statewide coaches responded to the survey. And I'm going to ask you guys the questions that he has asked those coaches. I believe the results will be, Rick, will they be out tomorrow, I think?
Well, on the first question, the best active coach in high school football in Alabama will come out tomorrow. And I don't know how long that series is going to run. I'll check that out and see. But, boy, Ben Thomas, can you imagine? He covers the state of Alabama for AL.com, and there's a couple of others that do, but Ben's the lead on that. And what an amazing job he does. He had both media days this week, the Baldwin County and the Mobile County media days. Just an amazing man. I don't like his music. Isn't he a Def Leppard?
He's a headbanger. One of those.
And he
well, there's a time for that.
Yeah, well, I know. But he gives me static about Boz and Steely Dan. But boy, what I love about him is Ben Thomas, his heart is, he is a Christ-centered man.
Yes, he is.
He is one of the kindest, sweetest men I've ever known. He does a fabulous job. This is something he came up with, and it's pretty neat.
So let me ask you guys, and Rick, I'll start with you. The question is, the best active head football coach in Alabama, who would be your selection there?
Well, there's a lot of people that would be. I think it's almost impossible to pinpoint one particular coach because of the different levels of competition.
Let me ask you like this then, all right? If you're in a Friday night football game and it's a tight ball game, what head football coach do you want there coaching your team?
Phil Lazenby.
I couldn't disagree with that, but you look at the people who have done that, and I'm going to tell you right now, and I've coached with a lot of great coaches. You coached with a David Cutcliffe, with a Harry Wayne Parrish, with a Steve Savarese. Terry Curtis is just about as good as it gets in a one-game situation. I'm not so sure that I just wouldn't want him to be in charge. I mean, you can say what you want to about classifications. You can say, but I've sat there. I've been with him. I'm just telling you, when it comes down to a one-game situation, there's nobody better prepared in all three aspects of the game than Terry Curtis. There's just not. Now, does that mean he's the best high school coach in Alabama? On any given Friday night.
You can't measure that.
No, you just can't do it. On any given Friday night, there's going to be a different one, I think. I mean, I think Stacy Luker, look what he's done. Good gracious alive. People are going to say, well, he didn't do it at the highest level. Well, how do you judge that?
Look at a Jamie Riggs.
No doubt. Yeah, but he's not active.
Well,
he's not active
Pete
now.
Smith, I mean, at Piedmont.
Absolutely.
Look what he did in the state championship game. How many times have we watched? I sat there and watched that man coach up and down that sideline. I'm thinking, you don't have time to do what you're doing, and he still did it and won.
Well,
I mean, there are guys. I'm just telling you, this is a very difficult thing to answer. Okay,
that's why I'm anxious to see how this turns out.
Absolutely,
it's hard to answer because Terry Curtis. I have watched him call plays. You know, throwing peanuts out of his mouth. You know, and calling a plays in a ball game are unbelievable. You know, I can't get over it. I watched Josh Niblett do things that I think that are just way ahead of his time when he was at Hoover. I've seen other people be able to do things. Jamie Dubose. What a job he did there. You know, you take all kinds of coaches that are just tremendous. I mean, I'll tell you something. One of the best game night football coaches I've ever seen work was Rush Probst. That son of a gun could coach a football game now, and he had a plan. He did. He was extremely good.
He changed football in Alabama.
He changed it completely.
He changed it. But you look at today, you can't take Mark Freeman out of that mix
either. No, you can't.
You just can't do it. He dominated Alabama Independent School Association at Bessemer Academy. You look at people and all over the state of Alabama, you look at coaches like that. I just don't think you can name the best high school coach.
I don't think you can, because I'm going to tell you something else. I'll never forget some words that Steve Savarese told me one time that I have never forgotten in my entire life as far as a coach. Sometimes the best coaches are not the guys who go 9-1, 10-0. They're the guys who are 6-4, 5-5, 7-3, year in and year out, with less talent than anybody else, but he gets everything. But they don't have ups and downs. They don't go 10-0 to 2-8, and then they're 3-7, and then they're 11-4, or what? They don't do that.
No,
they always stay right there. The best coach. Hey, I'll never forget. We were at Alex City the one only year we didn't go to the playoffs. There, our quarterback was a kid named Greg Vincent. He's on the pro fishing tour now. But Greg was our quarterback, and we ended the season that year 5-5. And Steve told us at the end of the year, he said, "I'm going to tell you something, guys. That was the best coaching job we've ever done in Alex City." I'll never forget that.
Well, and you look at facilities too, Mark. Some schools have no facilities.
Absolutely.
You look at some of these county schools. I think in Talladega County, you look at Talladega County, so they don't have any facilities. They just don't have it. There's just not enough money there. There's not a fan base. There's not a corporate base to back them up. Young coaches we got right now, Keith Etheridge at Auburn. I mean, a phenomenal football coach.
Everywhere he's been.
Everywhere he's been, he's won, and he's won big. I can't name one. If I had to have one game coach, I would stick Terry in there.
All right. Let me move to another one.
Right,
maybe this will be a little easier, okay? How about the best Friday night atmosphere? Coach, and you've been in some biggest, Mark, you have.
Boy, too.
I
can tell you the best Friday night atmosphere back to 2015, is that Gordo Bayside game.
Yeah.
That was in Gordo, that was phenomenal.
Now Gordo, they shut the city down.
Oh yeah.
Well yeah, but they do that in a lot of places.
Yeah,
you go to small town Alabama Friday night's like the senior prom for seniors.
I'm telling you. You want to know the most, I know it's one of the greatest atmospheres, and I hated it. Was going to Opelika.
Oh,
to
no
play
doubt.
A ball game.
Absolutely it was.
My gosh, I hated going to Opelika.
Well, how about you in Prattville?
Well, you go to Stanley Jensen Stadium in Prattville. They're hanging over the rafters. I mean, there's people hanging over the fence.
They still call that student section the jungle?
That is the jungle. And
they will ridicule you.
I mean,
been there and done it.
And you know, Spence wouldn't come in there. Spence drove up at 7:25, got off the bus, walked his captain.
I tell you what, now I will say this: when I was at Alma Bryant,
yeah,
that may have been one of the best atmospheres to come to a ball game because they did it right down there. I mean, every Friday night at home was a big deal.
You go to Montgomery and you think about the old Jeff Davis, Robert E. Lee games.
Oh, my.
That was something. Dothan and Northview at Ripue Stadium was an absolute – it was maniacal. I mean, I can remember one Friday night there. We're the visitors team at Northview. Somebody set off firecrackers. And I'm telling you, the whole stadium, it erupted. But that place, Rip Hughes is a tough – ask Terry Curtis how tough it is to coach there. Dothan and Northview was a great, great rivalry. Now they're one. Heck, Sylacauga and B.B. Comer at one time was a man of war.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It was something really special.
I remember T.R. Miller. Is another place.
Murder Creek.
Yeah.
That is quite a venue to go.
So you're getting into the rivalry side of it right there
right.
a little bit too. Okay.
But I mean, if you go to a place every week that has got a great deal going on around the school, you're going to find mostly, like Rick said, those small towns that have. That's the center of the universe for them.
Going into Strawn or Op, something like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, those.
Yeah.
You're right. They shut it down, and I mean, everyone's there.
And everybody loves it.
Everything's going on
at the high school, not just football. Go to a basketball game.
Oh yeah, that's something else. And you go down again down into Wiregrass. You get Slocum and Hartford when they play. Good gracious alive! And over to Pike County, where Pike County for years dominated. Small school football in that area down there, and it's just some amazing games.
Coach, we got about a minute.
Foley Roberts deal.
Yeah, right. There's a good one.
Yeah.
It used to be Baldwin County and Atmore.
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you this real quick, and we're almost out of time here. Quick answer. Most desirable job in the state of Alabama? Head coaching football job.
It used to be Thompson. I mean, it used to be Hoover, now I think it's Thompson.
Yeah. Depends on what classification you want to be
Doesn't
in.
Matter.
Orange Beach, it's a really good job coming up.
I think it's one of the hardest places in the world to coach.
Though. It is, but I'm telling you.
And why is that?
5 years from now, it's going to be a place.
It may be, but you know, the common man can't afford housing there. I'm just telling you, you can't do it. The common man can't. You got to take. I mean, it's just a hard place to coach. Ricky Chantry said this years and years ago. He said, the last thing I want to do is I want to retire. Live in Orange Beach and volunteer to coach football there. Volunteer. volunteer to be the head coach at whatever school's down there. But it's the hardest job there is because those kids got that big body of water, and it attracts people like nothing else does.
It does.
It's just amazing.
Speaking of Chancery, saw Chancery last week, remember?
Yeah.
That boy's crazy.
He's about Auburn.
Oh, my
How
goodness.
Auburn High School.
Auburn and Opelika. Auburn's going to be that may be, Mark, you may be right on right there. Auburn High School may be the premier job in the state of Alabama. It may be. For a lot of reasons.
But give me two.
Great community support, great facilities, one of the growingest cities in the state of Alabama, and they got everything you need right there. They got Auburn University. You got all kinds of support. You got support from your great tax base there in that county and in that city. It's it's a really good program.
Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. All right, hey, let's take our final timeout. When we come back, the Grace segment. Coach Mark has got a setup for that. Can't wait to hear it, Coach. All right, don't go anywhere. More PSR right after this.
This segment of the Charleston Gas Lanterns Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, the last couple of, this summer at my church, our pastor at Three Circles Church has been talking about water. That's been the subject. And this last Sunday, man, I was just captivated by the discussion of rough water. So today what I want to talk to you about is rough water. Rough water, what do you look for when you're in rough water? Like a week ago Friday, I went fishing with my sons and a guy out of Fort Morgan. We went out and we were watching the weather, you know, as we're out there, and clouds had kind of crept up behind us. And we were watching, see what was going on, and just making sure everything was okay. I've been out a couple of times where weather got rough. This water that I'm talking about for me was something that was so weird because I didn't understand what I was talking about until my pastor talked about it in church on Sunday. You see, because anytime the water gets rough, when the water gets rough, then the person who's in that water has got to have somebody to look for, to hold to. Back in Mark, in the book of Mark 4:35-41, it says, so Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross the water. So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although no other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, began to fill the water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat and with his head on a cushion. Disciples woke him shouting, teacher, don't you care that we're going to drown? And Jesus was like telling, and through the story, it says, this is what happens. You guys lost faith in what's happening. The faith is not in the boat. The faith is in who's in the boat. And as I listen and talk about things that are going on in our lives, and what we were talking about last Sunday, is that the boat can protect you, but the one we turn to is the guy captaining that boat, who's captaining that vessel, who's leading that thing back to the shoreline. Man, I have faced some rough times in my life. All of us have. And it took me a long time, and it took, of course, it took God in his own time to keep pounding away at me to let me know that you're not in control. You know, whether you think you are or not, you're not in control, Mark. Please, put your eyes on the captain. And when I do that, the waters seem to calm, and they seem to get a little bit better. Our hope is not in the boat, but the one who is in the boat. It's not what's happening outside the boat, but what's happening inside the boat. What are we doing? What do I do? How do I get through these rough waters? Because rough waters are going to come, guys. Rough waters are coming in every one of our lives. Every one of them. Garth Brooks said in a song called The River, which is one of my favorite songs, it says, "There's bound to be rough waters, and I know I'll take some falls. With the good Lord as my captain, I can make it through them all." Now think about what a captain is of a boat. He's in charge. He's dealing it. He's handling it. I'm just a passenger. I'm just along for the ride. I'm just in the vessel. That captain is steering the ship. In times of calm seas, guess who's in charge of the boat? The captain, not me. I'm just a passenger. The captain is still in charge, still in control. My whole point this morning is that every one of us is going to go through rough water. And every one of us is going to have to face difficult, difficult times in our lives. And if I have ever learned anything else, if I haven't learned anything in my life, I've learned that it shouldn't be the last thing that I do, but it should be the first when I see those rough waters and I know I'm going to fall. All I've got to do is get on my Jesus, get on my knees to Jesus, and he will answer my call.
You know, no call goes unanswered, Mark. Sometimes we don't get the answer that we want, but it's the answer that we need. And boy, that's the captain of the ship. That's pretty strong, Mark. That's pretty doggone strong. We, you know, sometimes we have conflict with that in sport, because as coaches, we sometimes try to do more than we need to do. We overcoach. We push it beyond the limits of expectation sometimes, and we're not the captain of the ship when we do that. We overstep our boundaries.
That's right.
And when I got a lesson in wisdom this week. Tracy and I were watching a guy that I watched play in Louisville, Kentucky in the McDonald's All-Star game, who was the head coach of the Boston Celtics. And I'm just at a loss for words now. It was a documentary on his life. He played at Marquette. He was a great basketball player at Marquette. He's now the coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. If Glenn Vickery's listening, he'll send me the name of this guy. And Randy, maybe you can pull it up real quick, but we were watching a documentary on this guy, and he is he was a tremendous, tremendous college basketball player at Marquette. He's a great high school player. What's his name, Randy?
Tyrone Lou.
No. Tyrone Lou was one of his assistants. Tyrone Lou was the head coach of the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron James was there. This guy was a point guard. Played at Marquette. Can't believe Vic had already sent me that young man's name.
He's the coach there now?
He's the coach of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Right now it's Tyrone Lue.
Who was it before him? He was his assistant there. Doggone it. Gosh, what is his name?
I can't help you.
Anyway, we'll think of it and bring it up next.
Doc Rivers.
That's exactly who it was.
Bingo, Charlie.
Great high school player, great college player at Marquette. That's what he was talking about being captain of the ship and how to do it and do it the right way. Randy, thank you so much. Remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. Go to the GoFundMe account. Type in Wesley Coleman.